Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us. SmileEyeSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed. At Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman tomorrow. Buy and Build, having an auction featuring cabinet sets, sinks, fixtures, carpeting, hardwood, flooring, and more. Auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com/MHS. Time now for the lead.
The lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
Avalanche lose to Columbus last night. They outplayed them. They outshot them. They out pretty much did everything to them except win on the scoreboard. And what an opportunity missed, considering they would have been 1 point behind Dallas for the top spot in the Western Conference. It feels like everybody has been chasing Vancouver for most of the season. And right now, the Canucks and the Avs are still tied with 100 points.
Oh, and by the way, next up, back-to-back at Minnesota and Edmonton.
Yeah.
Before they come home for a game with Dallas.
Right.
It's a busy week. This was the one game I thought that you could have looked at the schedule and said, this is one they'll get. It's not like Minnesota's skating great guns, but they'll play hard against the Avs. And then you got to go back-to-back at Edmonton.
I understand what I'm about to say is totally different, okay? Because in the NFL, you only play 17 games. Which game more shocking? And I understand there's going to be an obvious answer, because we're talking about, of course, the Denver Broncos. Which game seemed more shocking to you? The Avs losing last night to a Columbus team that is not very good.
Bad, frankly.
Or the Broncos losing to the New England Patriots when they had the playoffs on the line.
Well, I mean, you're right. The answer is obvious, because the Avs still have games left to play.
I understand. No, and they're in the playoffs.
Right.
I get that. But when you just look at these games individually, a should win should be able to walk in, walk off the bus, and win this game. Right?
I think that the Broncos' failure against the Patriots was more probably jarring to me. When you stop to consider what was on the line, the Patriots hadn't been very good.
Well, listen.
I mean,
listen. What happens if they fall 1 point short of, say, Vancouver?
Well, you're right.
Or Dallas.
Yes.
This could have been home ice throughout the playoffs. Yeah. You can make the case the Avs need home ice as much as any team in the playoffs because of how well they played home. And they're not particularly great on the road.
No, they haven't.
This was a real opportunity.
It was a great opportunity. Yeah, you're right. You're sitting there today, 1 point behind Dallas with a win, and the wind in your sails from a win, and knowing that you've got Dallas coming up at home on Sunday. Now, yeah, you've got a back-to-back that you've got to negotiate, but now all of a sudden the hill has gotten a little harder to climb. And maybe in the grand scheme of things, as long as they're healthy and have Natushkin, maybe it just doesn't make that much difference.
Okay.
Maybe it doesn't.
All right. So let's say the playoffs, we get some bad news for the sake of argument.
All right.
Get some bad news. Jamal Murray's out for the playoffs, and Natushkin is out for the playoffs. Which team advances further in the playoffs with both teams missing one of their guys?
And are they starting the postseason against the teams they would be matched up if the season ended today?
However the season ends is however the season ends.
I think the Nuggets get further. I mean, I do. Because they have a seismic player in Nikola Jokic.
The guy who plays for the Avalanche might be the MVP, too.
Right. How many minutes a game is Nikola Jokic going to play?
Bingo. And I think that's the difference.
That's the difference for me.
And that's really what separates basketball from every other sport. The reason why the NBA is a star-driven sport is your stars in the playoffs play over 80 to 85% of the time.
Right. He's going to play 40 minutes. right. 42 minutes.
It's a numbers game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at baseball, the best starting pitcher in baseball only gets the ball in the playoffs every four games. In the NFL, Patrick Mahomes only gets to touch the ball 50% of the time,
yeah,
roughly. In hockey, your best player is going to maybe play 40% of the time. Maybe. Even with defensemen, right? Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon. In the playoffs, they're going to play about 26 minutes a game. Makar will play more as a defenseman.
Sure.
But he's not playing 30. He's not playing half that game.
Mm-mm.
But in the NBA, your stars are going to play 40 to 42 minutes in a 48-minute game.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's kind of where I would go with that. I mean, I just find the Lakers, the Nuggets are in an interesting situation. They've got San Antonio tonight, which, by the way, is very much, although it's at home, is kind of like the Avs going to play Columbus, right? I mean, it's that kind. They're playing that kind of team. But I think they've got a good chance to get back rolling again. They only play three games this week. They've got some time to rest. I don't think that Jamal Murray plays tonight, nor do I think he should play tonight, even though he looked like he's pretty close to getting back after the way he warmed up in the game on against the Cavs. But I don't think he plays, but he might play by the time they go to L.A. on Thursday against the Clippers. Okay, so then we'll see. Oklahoma City tonight is in Philadelphia. Joel Embiid may play in that game tonight.
That's
intriguing.
It's intriguing because now everything kind of shifts in the East potentially.
Mm-hmm.
If Embiid comes back to be Embiid.
If he's Embiid, then you're right. That it does. It creates a different kind of challenge for if he's playing well, because that's a tire with a lot of tread on it.
Right.
He's missed a lot of basketball. So anyway, so that's kind of interesting.
Think about this. If you look at the East right now, the Philadelphia 76ers, without Embiid, it looked like they stepped on a trap door, right?
Yeah.
And they're currently eighth. So they would be in that play-in game situation. I have very little doubt with Embiid. Although when you look at Embiid's playoff history, anything
No,
can
you're
happen.
Right. That is true. Got to prove it.
Right. But for them, if they remain, and by the way, they're not going to slip to 9th or 10th.
Shouldn't.
Well, no, they won't, unless they completely collapse. Because with the 8th seed right now, the Sixers are 5 games over 500. The 9th seeded Bulls are 4 games under 500. So, beat Miami, team culture.
Yeah.
If you beat the culture team, you beat the culture club, right? If you beat culture club.
Come on, chameleon.
Right. If you beat culture club, you're automatically in the playoffs.
Yep.
Automatically in the playoffs. Well, actually, I don't think they'd play them. They would play the Bulls. I totally forgot how that worked out. How does that work? Seven plays 10,
8 plays 9. And then if you're a higher seed, you get an extra game to prove it.
Right.
Yeah, 9 and 10 have to win twice.
Right.
Okay. So with that, how would you like to be the Celtics or Milwaukee with the idea of having to play Philadelphia with Embiid in the first round?
Well, that changes things, right?
Right.
It does. Yeah. I mean, it creates more of a margin, a thinner margin for error. Because that 76ers team with Embiid being Embiid is capable.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to seeing how this whole thing plays out for obvious reasons. I mean, I don't know where Michael Malone is right now in terms of home court advantage.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm not.
He's already proven. His words, his actions have backed up his words.
Mm-hmm.
He's not playing Jamal Murray.
And nor should he.
If the playoffs started right today, I think Jamal Murray's playing.
I agree. I would absolutely agree. But will he? But does he start to sneak him back into the lineup Thursday in L.A.,
I don't know, for instance? I don't know if he really needs to. I mean, right now, Oklahoma City, They have a half game lead over the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. They have a one game lead over Minnesota. Here is Oklahoma City's schedule moving forward. Tonight against Philadelphia. Wednesday, back-to-back against Boston, both on the road. By the way, they have a four-game road trip remaining. They've already played five games, or they've already played one of those games, in which they beat the Knicks on the road.
Remarkably, with a hell of a comeback in the fourth quarter.
Right. Yeah. With no that, question. So Philadelphia, Boston, Indiana, Charlotte, four road games. Then they finish at home, Sacramento, San Antonio, then Milwaukee, and then the Dallas Mavericks.
Boy, and that's a tough schedule.
It is.
That is a Dallas is playing exceedingly well right now.
Well, here's the thing. Maybe when they play Milwaukee, Giannis doesn't play. They're not going to get. They're not going to get the. They're not. They're not going to get the top spot. And currently, they are 2.5 games ahead of the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, is there any real reason to play Giannis? Certainly the final game, maybe the second to last game.
All right. Run through that schedule again real quickly. Just go. Just give them to me one at a time. Here we go.
What am I, your
Yes, you are.
I'm your standings Sherpa.
Just pull up a chair and get comfortable. Go.
For the Oklahoma City Thunder, you want their remaining games.
Yes. So,
are you gonna go win-loss, 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 loss, win-win-win?
But I'm...
Fine. Philadelphia.
Loss.
Really?
Yes, I think they lose tonight.
They just beat New York on the road. And Embiid may not play.
They were fortunate to beat New York on the road. Okay. That's right.
Philadelphia, you're calling it a loss.
No, okay. All right. I'll be more pragmatic because we have to go by what they've proven.
Fine.
1-0.
Boston.
1-1.
Indiana.
1-2.
Charlotte.
2-2.
Sacramento. These games are all at home moving forward.
3-2.
San Antonio.
4-2.
Milwaukee.
That one's an interesting one. Let's just say for the sake of hope, 4-3. And then the Mavs. That's a tough one, too.
Right.
Dallas is playing for something.
They are. And looking at the standings right now, where is Dallas? They're currently fifth, two games behind the Clippers.
Right.
So, really, what they, in theory, well, although, and the Pelicans are right behind them only by a half game. So if Dallas can move up, they would get home court against the Clippers.
Exactly. And that's worth having, I think.
Sure.
And the Nuggets, can the Nuggets go 6-2 down the stretch?
Without Jamal Murray? Or are you saying the entire way?
I mean, based on where they are at this moment. Actually, they play 7, though, right?
They do. Would you like their schedule?
No, no.
You don't want to go win, loss, loss, win, I mean, win, win, loss, loss, loss.
Do they have to go 5-2?
Let's talk about that next.
Do they have to go 5-2 to win the West?
I'm going to stick around. You know why? Because that was one hell of a tease, and
I think Oklahoma
I'm not going
City's
anywhere. I
got to
finish
win
the
it.
Show.
I think Oklahoma City's going to win it.
Really?
Because they have the tiebreak.
All right.
Well, I think it'll come down to the tiebreaker.
Well, why don't we stop talking and use this as a tease?
Okay.
That's next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Tomorrow, Buy and Build, having an auction featuring cabinet sets, sinks, furniture, carpeting, hardwood flooring, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. In the meantime, if you are dealing with things like hair loss, weight loss issues, joint pain, there's one place you can go. It is one-stop shopping. It's called Beyond Stem Cells. I am a patient there. My good friend Carl Mecklenburg is a patient there as well. He uses them for joint pain, right? for me, I didn't need to lose a lot of weight, but I wanted to maybe lose about, I don't know, 10 pounds,
yeah.
15 pounds. I started on something called Semaglutin, and I got to tell you something. I swear by this stuff. I've already lost about 10 pounds in about, I don't know, 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Here's the beauty of this. What does this do? It completely curbs your appetite. You almost have to force yourself to eat because you're rarely hungry. So when you do eat, eat stuff that's healthy, and you will literally shed pounds. One of my wife's good friends went on Semaglutin. She dropped 30. Another friend of mine went on it. He lost 40 pounds. I can tell you from firsthand experience, I've lost weight. This stuff is unbelievable. It originally started as a drug for people who are pre-diabetic, and then they realized people are just losing weight. And I cannot believe that I'm actually dropping this weight. I'm pretty much where I want to be. I might drop a little bit more. But when you go to Beyond Stem Cells, you're going to talk to my guy, John. He's going to guide you on what you need. But for hair loss, they have stem cell therapy. Why cut in the back of your head? I've done that. That sucks. And it's painful and it's uncomfortable. Right?
Okay.
So with hair loss, stem cell therapy. If you have joint pain, you know, you played high school football, you're having trouble walking, you can't live the life that you want, you can't go skiing, you can't play tennis, you can't do things, they can help you with stem cell therapy. Weight loss, I'm a tried and true believer in Semaglutin. Go check out Beyond Stem Cells, beyondstemcellsdenver.com, beyondstemcellsdenver.com, or give them a call, 1-833-720-STEM, 1-833-720-STEM. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Paramount Siding and Windows. Paramount Siding and Windows, it's quality in everything they do. Find them at ParamountSidingAndWindows.com.
So our resident Karnak, if you don't understand that reference, that was that was Johnny Carson predicting things with Ed McMahon next to him. I will be Ed McMahon.
Okay.
And you will not do the impersonation. I don't do it well.
I can't.
Ed, I was vacationing in Malibu.
That's pretty good.
So with that.
All right. There we go. With that,
you have decided to play Karnak, Mr.
I'm
Predictor.
I'm going to play, and I'm going to use Alex as my guy. And Nigel's back there, too, so they can consort on this.
Well, you've already come out and said Oklahoma City's winning the West.
And here's why I think so. I want you to answer this question, you guys. Can the Nuggets go 6-1 with this schedule? San Antonio at home, at the Clippers, home against Atlanta, at Utah, home against Minnesota, at San Antonio, at Memphis.
Yes.
I do. I think so, too. But
I mean, it's the Minnesota game, but no Jamal Murray throughout, too.
But here's the deal. They almost have to. If you believe that Oklahoma City is going to go 5-3 in their remaining 8 games, They got to go to Philly. They got to go to Boston. They got to go to Indiana. I mean, they got to play Dallas at the end. If they finish 5-3, the Nuggets have to go 6-1 to win the West.
By the way, don't forget who can slingshot all of them, and that's Minnesota.
And
why? Yeah,
because they're.
Did you see the game last Friday night?
Mm-hmm.
I understand what happened in their next game.
Yeah,
like the Avs last night against Columbus. I get it.
Minnesota's got a harder road to hoe right now. They're in.
Tell me why.
Because they're a game back.
Or as the Backstreet Boys would say, tell me why.
Because they're a game back.
Is it the Backstreet Boys or is that NSYNC? Which boy band is that?
Oh, God.
I think that's Backstreet.
Is that right?
Yes.
Backstreet?
Yep.
They do a laundry commercials, right?
Yeah.
Because
that's where their career has gone, right in the washer.
Because they are a game back with the same 8, which means that they would pretty much have to go. I don't know who has the
tiebreaker. They have Phoenix. They have Phoenix twice.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Oh, wait. They play the Lakers. Oh, boy.
Well, I mean, you know.
I mean, the Lakers are going to make a run.
Well, the Lakers are capable. They're not my team that I got to pay attention to, but they can be capable. I think it looks to me like the Nuggets would probably have to go 6-1 the remaining 7 to win the
West.
A
lot of it depends on when does Jamal Murray come back.
Right.
I think they lose 2 of these games.
Yeah.
of the remaining.
That seems
seven.
Reasonable to me. 5-2 seems reasonable for the Nuggets. They could go 6-1. They could. But I'm not so sure that that's a point of emphasis right now. I'm just not. I do think that Oklahoma City will go 5-3. Even with the 4-game roadie.
So in order, seeding, what do you got? Bruce Karnack?
I think it's going to be Oklahoma City, Denver, Minnesota. I do. Now remember, Denver is down 2-1 to Minnesota. Minnesota has, I think they've already clinched the tiebreak.
They're going to have the tiebreak because, I believe, because of division record.
Yeah, and the Nuggets have not played well, relatively,
right.
In the division.
Yeah, it's head-to-head, then it's division.
Then it's
record.
Division. So, but I still think Denver will hold off Minnesota and be the second seed in the West. And that's pretty good. You'll take that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's really only one series that you wouldn't have home court advantage.
Right.
And you know what? I'd rather go to Oklahoma City and try to win a game than I think I'd rather go to Minnesota and win a game.
Coming up after the break, I'm going to tease it by asking you a question, Alex. Give me the top 2 or 3 college basketball coaches of all time.
John Wooden.
Yep.
Mike Krzyzewski.
Yep.
And Adolph Rupp.
Notice he didn't say Gino Auriemma. That's next.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us at MyLifeSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Tomorrow, buy and build having an auction featuring cabinet sets, sinks, fixtures, carpeting, hardwood flooring, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Earlier in the show, I said I would like to find the ratings from the Elite Eight games or, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Okay. Women, men. NC State against Duke, men, 15.1 million viewers. Tennessee against Purdue, 10.4 million viewers. Colorado, Iowa with Caitlin Clark, 7 million people watch that game. So what is it going to look like with Iowa, Caitlin Clark, and UConn?
That's all ESPN, right? Yeah.
No, NC, yeah.
Yeah, yep. All ESPN.
Yep. So Tennessee-Purdue drew 3.4 million more viewers, which is significant.
Mm-hmm.
But when you compare it to a women's college basketball game, that's nothing.
Yeah, one was on network television, one was on cable. That makes a difference, certainly. I don't know.
Time now for What's Trending.
Good question.
Can you answer it?
What's Trending?
Don't have one.
Is presented by Roller Auctions. Get what you want at the price you want. Go to rollerauction.com/MHS, and they'll send you notifications on their latest auctions.
Okay, so I asked Alex, going into break, name the 3 greatest college basketball coaches of all time.
Mm-hmm.
He went John Wooden,
yep.
Mike Krzyzewski,
right.
And everybody's favorite racist, Adolph Rupp, which he was, off the charts racist. But I digress. With that, how come nobody mentions Gino Auriemma?
Because the game of women's basketball was nowhere near as deep as the men's game at that point. We are just getting to a point now where the depth in women's college basketball is spread out a little bit more evenly. Pat Summitt won 8 national championships at Tennessee. She's an undeniable force as a college coach. Look at her. We talk coaching trees a lot. I dare you to go look at Pat Summitt's. It might be the most impressive in basketball, period. But the women's...
Who's on it?
But the women's game...
Who's on it?
I mean, I can't tell you right this second.
Oh, I thought you knew when you said it. No, I mean... You're saying it's undeniable. No. I'd like to know who's on it.
Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
You mean Alex will.
Yeah, I'm talking. I'm talking and you're interrupting, which is generally the way it is here. But the fact of the matter is that it's a little... It's not apples to apples. Comparing the history of the women's game to the history of the men's game. The men's game has been a much deeper, much more talented pool of players for so long. Women's basketball is catching up with it. 11 national championships is remarkable, and it's a testimony to what Gino Auriemma has been able to do at UConn, but they also kind of cornered the market on players. Tennessee, before that, kind of cornered the market on players. And you talk about a rare, like the number of teams that could win national championships. It wasn't a very long list in women's basketball for a long, long time.
Can you say definitively that Mike Krzyzewski understands the game of basketball better than Gino Auriemma?
No.
That he's a better technician?
I can't say that. I don't know that.
And I don't know that either.
I don't.
Okay. So, for all we know, Gino Auriemma has a higher basketball IQ.
Could very well be.
That's why people readily dismiss Gino Auriemma, because he coached women. He's a brilliant basketball
mind. God, absolutely.
So why is a man, ironically, both are men, why is Gino Auriemma knocked down a bunch of pegs because he coached women?
Well, I just gave you why I think it is, but I don't think it's.
He had six undefeated seasons.
Yeah, I don't think it's
Final Four 23 times.
But I don't think it's knocking him down a peg. I think it's nothing that he did. It's just that
I think it's a male bias, is what it is. Well, you're just coaching women.
No, I don't
really.
Think,
I don't, yeah, I just coaching women.
I don't think so. I just think it's because you weren't playing as deep as a talented field in women's basketball. It's like I said, it's just getting to that point now.
Well, then if that's the case, then John Wooden's accomplishments should be knocked down a lot of pegs.
Well, I mean,
if we're going to talk about deep in terms of talent pool.
But that's men's basketball. You still had the ACC. You had, I mean.
Oh, wait, but hold on a second. Hold on.
I mean, it's not even comparable to me.
It is, and I'll tell you why. Because I think back in the day, I might have it wrong. Back in the 1960s, 1970s, you only got into the NCAA tournament if you won your conference championship. Period. You get shoveled out to the NIT. You had to win your conference championship. And I believe there was one year, I can't remember which one it was. It's like 71, 72, 73. I think North Carolina and North Carolina State were 2-3 in the country.
Mm-hmm.
They played in the ACC championship game. I believe North Carolina won. NC State did not make the NCAA tournament. They didn't make the NCAA tournament. So because of that, UCLA didn't have to face potentially NC State. They only had to face North
Carolina.
There
were still those teams playing in men's basketball. Men's basketball has forever, there was only men's basketball, God's sake.
And oh, by the way, when it came to, I hate to use this word with this guy, when it came to cheating, when it came to recruiting players in the most below board way, John Wooden is right near the top of the list.
All right. Well,
he's right there with Rick Pitino and a bunch of other guys.
He just
conveniently ignored his favorite recruiter out east to get him a whole bunch of players. Like Lou Alcindor.
Let's be careful about casting aspersions in college sports, because frankly, if we get into that thing, and we take the cover and pull it off of college sports and watch all of the cockroaches scurry, you probably wouldn't like what you see.
I don't think anybody would, but but nobody wants to see what happened with John Wooden. And John Wooden is an honest man. He's an Indiana kid that was raised the right way, but he got players unlike other teams that couldn't get players. That is an undeniable fact. And you know enough about college basketball to know exactly what I'm talking about. Is that fair?
Sam Gilbert is the guy that we're talking about.
That's right.
Right.
I mean, Lew Alcindor may not be traveling all the way across the country to play at UCLA if it isn't for Sam Gilbert. They don't win all those titles.
I would doubt that John Wooden was the only one doing that had that. That had opportunities like that afforded to him.
He was Mr.
in college basketball.
He was Mr. Plausible Deniability. I don't even know what's going on. I just know this baby in a basket showed up on my doorstep, who happened to be 7 feet tall, a kid out of New York. How did he get here?
Well, do you believe that Wilt Chamberlain showed up at the University of Kansas out of Philadelphia because he wanted to go to where the wheat was cut? I mean, stop it. This is the history of college sports, not just college basketball, but college sports.
But a guy is considered like John
Wooden's a pretty damn good coach.
Great coach.
Let's face it.
Here's the funny thing. John Wooden and Yogi Berra have something in common. John Wooden is best known, I believe, for his motivational quotes than he is for winning basketball
Pyramid
games.
Pyramid of success, et cetera. Yep.
Right.
Gotcha.
You know,
okay.
Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Yogi Berra is the greatest catcher to ever play baseball, but he's best known for being literally Yogi Bear, the cartoon character. And all of the things that he said, people don't realize how good Yogi Berra was as a player.
Fantastic player.
If you look at his numbers and his accomplishments and being really the straw that stirred the drink for all of those Yankees championships, he won 3 MVPs.
Yeah. Yogi
Berra won 3 MVPs. Johnny Bench didn't.
Johnny Bench is pretty damn good, though.
I didn't say he wasn't. What I'm saying is, when you look at career accomplishments, Yogi Berra is easily on par, if not better, than Johnny Bench.
I would say that he's on par with
but
Johnny
Yogi
Bench.
But Yogi Berra is looked at as a cartoon character compared to Johnny Bench and Mike Piazza and all these catchers who could hit. People forget how good of a hitter Yogi Berra was.
Sure.
I mean, he only kind of called a perfect game for Don Larsen.
Well, he...
And he's widely credited for that perfect game, calling the perfect game.
Yeah, Pride of St. Louis, grew up on the hill with Joe Garagiola. And, but that's kind of who he was. Anyway, he was kind of that. He was kind of that bumpkin savant.
Think about this for a second. What's the one commonality between the days when Joe DiMaggio played and when Mickey Mantle played? There's only one guy. That's Yogi Berra. He played with both of those great Yankees teams as their backstop. He was their backstop for 13 World Series championships.
He had some help.
No.
I mean,
I just said he was the backstop.
Right. Yes.
He was the catcher.
No question.
For some of the best pitchers in Major League history.
I appreciate you being effusive, and I agree with you to a large degree.
People just, again, like, and I brought it up because of John Wooden.
I think if you're a baseball fan, you appreciate Yogi Berra.
If you ask regular baseball fans, give me the top three catchers of all time, they would not say Yogi Berra. Top three. They would not say Yogi Berra.
Well, it would start with Johnny Bench.
It would. It would start with Johnny Bench.
And then it'd be Ivan Rodriguez, probably.
And right, and that's my point.
Yeah.
And by the way, 13 World Series championships. No, it did not start and end with Yogi Berra, but he did win three MVPs.
Oh, no question. Yeah.
He did win three of those.
Absolutely.
So he was clearly an important part.
It wouldn't be Mike Piazza, who was not a very good defensive backstop. He was a totally offensive hitting catcher, which is great, but he wasn't a great catcher. I mean, defensive catcher. You'd have to go back to like Mickey Cochran and Ernie Lombardi and guys like that that were, but that's a different era.
It is.
Yogi Berra, though, is just because of his personality and what he has meant to the game beyond a player. And you get guys like that, right? Tommy Lasorda very much the same way, although Tommy Lasorda was nowhere near the type of player. In fact, he was barely a big leaguer. Yogi Berra is, to your point, one of the greatest who ever played.
He finished top five, top four in the MVP voting seven times. Seven times.
Mm-hmm.
So no, he was not Joe DiMaggio. He was not Mickey Mantle. He was not Whitey Ford. But he did finish top four in the MVP voting throughout all of baseball in the American League seven times. How many guys have done that? Very few.
Ted Williams, maybe.
That's my point.
Not much.
He's the best bad ball hitter of all time.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And he looked like a fire hydrant.
Totally.
And when he came up into the league, guys like Joe DiMaggio were laughing at him like, this guy can't play. This guy can't play.
Well, that didn't take long to figure out.
Seven times. And oh, by the way, in his entire career, outside of one season, he got MVP votes. Every single year of his career, outside of his final 2 years. Johnny Bench can't say that. Not even close. What do you have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
We'll talk some NBA as Joel Embiid is nearing a return to the court. And how much MVP consideration should SGA receive? That's next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports. And I ain't finna worry about what nobody say, 'cause I'm still above ground.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions, Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman tomorrow. Buy and Build, having an auction featuring cabinet sets, sinks, fixtures, carpeting, hardwood flooring, and more. Auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com/MHS. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just In Case You Missed It is presented by Argonaut Wine and Liquor. You need to see why Westward named it the best liquor store in Denver 5 years running, or order online at ArgonautLiquor.com.
All righty, guys. Just in case you missed it, Stephen A. Smith said Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is his pick for MVP, saying he's the number one seed in the West as we speak. Oh, he's played in 71 of 74 games, third in the NBA, averaging 30.3 just behind Luka and Giannis. He's had an NBA high of 50 games of 30 or more points this season. He's shooting a career high from the field. How much MVP consideration should SGA receive this season?
A lot.
Yeah.
Enough to finish second.
Yeah. Listen, Stephen A., you think you know basketball, but let me educate you on this. If Nikola Jokic wanted to average 30 points a game, he could. All day. He could average 35 if he wanted to. He would just have to cut down on his assists. With SGA, I believe he averages, what, 5 rebounds, 5 assists a game, something like that. If Shai Gilgeous-Alexander wanted to pass the ball more, his scoring numbers would go down. That's what people don't understand. Jokic could score 35 a night if he chose to, but he prioritizes winning. And yes, Oklahoma City is ahead by a half game. Let's not really split hairs here. And by the way, here's the other thing. We hear it all the time on the broadcast. The Jokic minutes on the floor and off the floor. That's your MVP. How do they play when he's not on the floor? They're minus.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with Stephen A. making that argument. I respectfully disagree with it, but I'd vote him second.
Yep. Me too.
That's where he'd be.
That was Argonaut Wine and Liquor. Just in case you missed it, all domestic wines, 15% off. Go check them out off of Colfax. Order online, argonautliquor.com. Order off their app as well. They always have great wine tastings. They have one coming up this Saturday. Go check them out. Again, find them off of Colfax. That's going to do it for us. Nigel and Alex, great job as always. Same with you, Bruce. I'll try and do better tomorrow. Make it the best possible day you can.
Just as I thought. Going on.